Nation. So good to be with you. Excuse me. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour radio show. I am your honored host, Daniel Brigman, and this is day whatever it is of this ordeal that we are going through. How far we'll go, I do not know. Certainly somebody who will have an idea of at least the end game is Patrick Wood. Of course, he's famous for Technocracy Now, technocracy.news, his website, his book Trilaterals over Washington with Anthony Sutton. Wow, it's been, what, 30, 40 years ago now. Really a groundbreaking work. His new book, Technocracy, Hard Road to World Order, that's kind of what we're going through now, or they're attempting to put us through, a hard road to world order. Patrick Woods, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Hey, thanks for having me on. You betcha.
Absolutely. It's so good to have you. We had you on, I don't know, it's probably been about a month ago or so. A lot has changed in a month, my friend. What do you make of all this?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's stunning. It's absolutely shocking. And in all of the years that I have been first a financial analyst when I first got out of college, I studied economics in college, and then I got a job as a financial analyst when I got out. I have never in my entire career seen events and circumstances as what we have today. It's absolutely stunning. And so if I sound a little speechless, it's because I'm still continuously processing everything that's going on. One thing that just struck me this morning like a ton of bricks is that China, which I have documented for years now as being a full-blown technocracy, China has exposed its true nature with this coronavirus affair. And every weakness, every flaw of technocracy is in plain daylight now. Just looking at China. But the sad thing is, Daniel, that when people don't recognize what China really is, they don't see the reasons on why they should reject technocracy completely. They just don't see it. They blame different things, but, technocracy is not getting the blame that it deserves right now.
What do you, when you say China's been exposed, what do you, elaborate on that a little bit. What do you mean?
Well, number one, their overconfidence on scientific prowess. Of course, most of their technology, or a lot of their technology, was stolen from us. But nevertheless, they take the technology and they say, we're the world's best. Why, there's nothing we can't do. Reminds you a little bit of Genesis, by the way, the book of Genesis, where, where the where Babylon said, wow, we could do anything we put our mind to. But China came out and, they're going to be the big technology saviors of the world. And yet their overconfidence led them to this coronavirus crisis, because somebody, some technocrat somewhere had their hands on that virus, and however it got loose doesn't matter, but it got loose. To me, that just says that's sloppy work too. They couldn't contain it. They weren't responsible enough to contain their monster invention or their monster accident. But ever since this has come out, China has shown nothing but total incompetence to handle their own people, to handle the breakout in general. Their propaganda engine has been completely exposed, in my opinion, as well. They're trying to change the narrative now, of course, and tell everybody else in the world what they should think about China. That China is really, you don't be racist against China now. Don't call it the Chinese virus. Don't call it the Wuhan virus. That's racist, And, what brass these people have to try and cover their tracks with a cheap propaganda trick. And yet, this is the whole nature of technocracy. It makes a great bluster about how wonderful it is and how it's going to be, you know, that's going to transform the world. Everything's going to be wonderful. You'll see. And then when you look at it like we're looking at it now, it looks like the worst septic tank that the world has ever seen.
Now, what you're expressing is way different than what corporate media is telling us. I mean, we're hearing, it's almost like lectures about China. Oh, look what China did. Look how they handled the virus. See, if we just do what they did and lock people in their houses, see, now they're back to work this week. Everything's fine. Your opinion is completely opposite of corporate media. Not surprising.
Not surprising. My opinion has been against the globalist media ever since I started writing back in 1976. So I'm not surprised. But, you know, I tell you, this is the absolutely the fact of the matter. And the reason I can say that, I don't form my opinions out of the blue, or, you know, I don't have an eight ball that gives me all the answers and stuff every morning. I simply study what the global elite themselves are writing, talking about. I read their papers. I read the transcripts of their meetings. I'm not doing anything out of the ordinary that, you know, anybody could do this. I honestly, anybody could if they want to take the time. I just happen to take the time. And so all of the things I've talked about for all these years are simply reflecting what they are intending to do, what they say they're going to do, for the reasons they say they're going to do it. I report it, and lo and behold, I'm out of sync with everybody else. Well, that just shows you that there's always been a propaganda layer on top of what they say they want to do internally and what they tell the world they want to do. Does that make sense?
It does and it doesn't. Isn't that correct? Isn't that, that's probably the way you put it. It does and it doesn't. It absolutely makes sense. Let me put this, in front of you and kind of get your opinion. I want to go in a little bit different direction. You talk about their goals, what they want. Okay. I want to paint a picture and you respond to this. Okay. A few months ago, or really just, I don't know, beginning of, whenever this started, before this started, you had Hong Kong, which was on the verge of civil unrest, certainly, or some kind of civil uprising almost. They did not want to be swallowed up by Chinese government. You got France protesting with the yellow vests, and they, just like every weekend, they would not stop. You're not taking our pensions. You're not going to shove us into this globalist cookie cutter that you have. Italy, Ecuador, Venezuela, Colombia. You had the situation in Virginia with the Second Amendment where the sheriffs rose up and by the force of law says, you're not going to run over our people. And if you try to, we will physically stop you. I mean, this is a big deal. You got the economic system on the absolute cliff up until this. Now we're seeing how big of a cliff, but there's no question the debt bubble system is coming to an end. All this was going on. And I don't know the details. What I can observe is, with one snap of the finger or one misplaced vial or placed vial, probably more like it, in some Chinese market, all these problems have gone away for the global controllers. Your reaction to that?
They have. For the time being, at least, they absolutely have all gone away. And moreover, the nations of the world that were not up to speed on Chinese-style surveillance are all of a sudden all getting up to speed very rapidly because somebody had the bright idea, we could track the coronavirus using all the advanced surveillance technologies that are available today, like with location data and your smartphone and so on. China's perfected this. They've nailed this with their 600 million cameras that they have installed now around the country with facial recognition software attached to it. That's one thing they have perfected. Well, the whole world now is grabbing onto that kind of technology. And just this morning, there was a story I posted on Technocracy News that has the title, Feds Look to Phone Location Data to Track Coronavirus.
Wow.
So our own federal government, which has been slapped down I don't know how many times by big tech companies for trying to break into the, you know, smartphones to get data out. Even the big tech companies said, no, we can't have it. Well, now these same big tech companies are negotiating with the feds to give them location tracking data on yours and my cell phone. In other words, where have we been? Who have we been in contact with? What areas, what neighborhoods did we go to, et cetera? And they want to track the coronavirus. The coronavirus has all of a sudden become an excuse for every totalitarian, technocratic brainstorm that ever existed. And it's just like these people are just coming out of the woodworks. They can't get enough of it. And the ironic thing is, Daniel, that science started this. It was science made this problem in the first place. And now what they're telling us is, well, more science will fix it. I'm sorry. That doesn't wash. But B, we're gonna fix the problem science created with more science. Okay.
What? How's that? You talked about goals coming out of this. I mean, where could this go? Where do you think the goal of all this is? In the short term,
not
long term. Let's talk about short term.
Yep. Whether it was planned or not, we don't know. There's absolutely no evidence yet that suggests that there was a conscious effort to start this pandemic. So we can't really go there, and I wouldn't go there unless we get some proof. It'd be nice if we did. Maybe a whistleblower come forward will have some proof.
But, let me interject right there. You tell me what you think. To me, there's an awful lot of circumstantial evidence that would make me think that this is coordinated. Now, I guess they could have coordinated it after the fact, but it sure looks coordinated the way this is going about to me. That to me, triggers ideas of plan to me.
Well, I'm not going to give you an alternative view to that. I agree with you, generally speaking. In my private time, I can connect some dots that seem to make sense, but they're still just circumstantial. But these technocrats that are now manipulating this crisis, they have been waiting for years for an opportunity to spring into action on top of a crisis, and it doesn't matter how it started. That's what I'm saying. The crisis did start. That's a fact. We're dealing with it right now. Because the crisis existed, the whole technocrat cadre across the world jumped on it like fleas on a dog, and they are manipulating this to turn it into such a crisis that they might be able to kill capitalism and free enterprise once and for all and introduce technocracy as the new global economic system. This was a plan from the 1930s, for Pete's sake. And it has been the modern plan since 1973, at least, when the Trilateral Commission was founded. They were the ones that said they're going to create a new international economic order. The United Nations picked it up. They fed it to the UN as sustainable development. They have sworn that they're going to replace capitalism and free enterprise with sustainable development. And this otherworldly economic system is what they have been pumping for almost 90 years, and now they have an opportunity to drive the stake into the heart of capitalism once and for all and say, we will save the world with our technocracy system, which is a resource-based economic system. I've described it to you on the program before. If we have time, we might do it again. But you get the idea here. These people are crisis managers of extraordinary prowess. And they're using it. They're doing it everywhere you can see it, all around the world. And that's the risk right now, economic reset.
You said resource-based economic system. And, yes, we've talked about it, but just briefly, I mean, for new listeners, what have you, how would you define a resource-based economic system? What does that mean?
Well, the original idea of technocracy from the 1930s when – of course, the Great Depression was going on. They thought capitalism was dead back then. Scientists and engineers at Columbia University got together and drafted this economic system from scratch that would be a science-based resource management economy, where they would control all of the resources of the technic, what they call the technic, and they would control all the production that resulted from those resources. And furthermore, they would tell the people what they're allowed to consume of those things that got manufactured. So it was control of all production and all consumption at the same time, with them in control of every part of the system. Furthermore, they specified that the only accounting system that could be used in technocracy would be energy. And so they specified an energy credit system where everything would be priced according to the energy that went in to make it. And they figured they could think that through and, you know, figure out how much that was and put a price tag on something. Well, we see this working out today as well with all the things about energy credits and carbon tax and cap and trade and stuff like that. These are all things that surround or whirl around the big technocracy movement from the beginning. And this is what they're trying to do today. It's a model to take all the resources of the world out of private hands and put it into a global common trust controlled by a few in order to control everything, all people, all activities, all development throughout the world.
So you're talking, have you seen the movie Hunger Games? So it's almost like Hunger Games or the movie Out of Time. Have you seen either one of those?
You betcha.
Is that similar to what we're talking about? This is
it is.
You know, what let me ask you this kind of on a personal note. You've been studying this quite a long time, 30, 40 plus years. You know, as you've seen this progress, what has gone through your mind in this time? Are you flabbergasted? Are you exhausted? Do you have more hope? What goes through your mind as you see this kind of unfolding right before your eyes?
I hear the whirlpool in the toilet consistently. I hate to say, there's no better way to describe it. It's like the flushing of a toilet. You know, people have been so resistant to hear anything that makes any sense to them anymore. It's very discouraging on one hand that so many people are running after everything else in the world. I mean, for Pete's sake, we've got a crisis, a pandemic crisis, legitimately. It is a crisis. And people are hoarding toilet paper. What kind of response is that? It's crazy. I mean, at least buy some, you know, nighttime flu medicine or something. But
yeah,
toilet paper.
Right?
That's not going to save the world. Well, you know, how do people get fixated on these things? While technocracy is taking over the world right now, most people who are concerned about anything are chasing after communists and Marxists and socialists. They think, oh, that's the big bugaboo now. And we gotta fight communism. We gotta fight socialism. And they're fighting absolutely the wrong enemy. And furthermore, they absolutely refuse to acknowledge that technocracy is really playing a major role, if not the major role, and everything that's going on in the world that we're looking at today, complaining about. It's like, well, guys, you can't fight an enemy you don't recognize. I mean, let's get a grip on this. This is probably the most disturbing thing to me. We cannot fight an enemy that we do not recognize. That was said, by the way, by remember the famous general Sun Tzu from, what, 600 B.C.? This has been knowledge around for a long time. You cannot defeat an enemy you do not know.
We have a couple minutes before break. We had Anita Hodds on yesterday talking about the government schools, public schools. What role, just a couple minutes, what role do you think schools play in all this, the school system?
Oh, a big role. Education was originally specified by the technocrat movement back in the 30s as a system of conditioning, of human conditioning. They didn't even view it as education. It was conditioning students to respond a certain way when they got to the workplace. I think of the book, by the way, Brave New World, when I think of this whole thing about education. Brave New World was written by Aldous Huxley, by the way, in 1932, the same year that technocracy was at Columbia University in New York City. Joe, just a coincidence. So I'm not suggesting to connect the dot there, of course. But actually,
it's circumstantial. It's circumstantial.
It's circumstantial. But if you go back and read Brave New World, they educated everybody from the ground up. They conditioned them to serve their roles in the workplace. That's all they did. There was no human dignity whatsoever in the system. And education today reflects that so clearly. It's conditioning. It's not education anymore. And so the whole government, education system here and around the world has been converted from one of educating students, teaching them how to think critically and so on, logically, to simply being conditioned to have knee-jerk reactions to responses when they get out in the, in the world and assume their positions that the technocrats want to put them into.
So basically, Anita went over this for an hour yesterday, but basically they want to understand how they respond to certain stimulus, and then they can control that stimulus to get a certain response. An outcome-based education where we want a certain outcome. We want people to act a certain way, so we're going to condition them so they're susceptible to act the way we want them to the response to the stimulus we give them. That's basically what you're saying.
That's right. That's exactly right. And they said this very clearly, Daniel, back in the 1930s. They made absolutely no bones about it, and they were proud of it. I mean, they thought, man, we've got the system that will just save the world, and it'll be the system of the end all the other systems. And here we are today.
Wow, there's the music. Patrick Wood, technocracy.news, this fantastic resource. I mean, he's one of the leading minds in the country about this and researchers about this. We're fortunate to have him, and more on the other side. Patrick Wood, technocracy.news. Stay tuned.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops. Hi, Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage, I love to eat. Yum!
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. ThePowerMall.com, of course, there's a lot of great products there that you probably need, especially now more than ever. Cass Ingram is going to be joining us in about a half hour or so. Always fun. We're going to pull him off the mountain somewhere in the Mediterranean picking oregano leaves, and we'll see what he has to say. So excited about that. Getting back to our guest. The Power Mall, 877-817-9829. If you're a new listener, check it out. A lot of great products. Buy from the good guys. You don't know what you're getting on Amazon. You could buy something you think, oh, wow, it's cheaper. There's a good chance it's not even the product you think it is. Just ask Cass. Cass will discuss that. But anyway, thepowermall.com, 877-817-9829. Our guest today is Patrick Wood, who is, I don't know if he's the leading. He's certainly one of the leading voices. I mean, just well-known, well-respected throughout the world for his research into technocracy, into whatever you want to call this global takeover. He is uses the word technocracy, and I think appropriately. Technocracy.news is his website. Technocracy, the hard road to world order, is his new book. Check that out. Patrick, getting back to you. Where do we go from here? What should people be thinking right now? What should we be looking for in the middle of all this hurricane?
Well, the things, the narrative is changing so quickly. It's really hard to say. You know, what I watched 2 weeks ago might not be what I'm watching today. And as this thing kind of expands, you know, stuff changes daily. I would say this, though. If you're going to watch something, watch for the loss of civil liberties that are taking place right under our nose. If you think that the Patriot Act was responsible for stripping liberty and freedom from Americans after 9/11, just imagine the Patriot Act now on steroids when you're looking at the coronavirus crisis. Because what's happening is that across our country, the First Amendment and the Constitution in general, but especially the First Amendment, is being completely obliterated by state governors, well, actually by national federal government as well, but especially by state governors, by city mayors, especially city mayors, and nobody is complaining about it. Nobody's watching this. Nobody's even thinking about it. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, are people blind? How can they let these leaders get away with this when, you know, we're dealing with a legitimate crisis and all of a sudden they're taking advantage of everything that we valued beforehand, throwing it away, throwing caution to the wind, and all of a sudden we're going to wake up one day and we're going to find out that we've lost the First Amendment, our right to communicate, and we've given the government the right to tell us anything that they want us to do, and we will do. For instance, is it right for a state governor to force businesses to close their doors? Is that anyhow possibly constitutional? To force under penalty of law, criminal penalties? Shut your doors or else. This is not the Constitution that our country lives under. How about mandating gun control and taking away guns in cities and preventing the, you know, purchase or sale of guns or ammunition like this mayor is doing down in Louisiana? Not constitutional. It's probably illegal, but she did it. Nobody's complaining. This kind of stuff is going on across the country right now. I'm very concerned about that.
One of the biggest things we talk about on this show is our rights, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. Rights cannot be taken in America. I think that's a very important point. I really resonated what you said about enemy, you know, knowing our enemy, identifying our enemy. Our rights are inviolate and are given to us from God and our Creator. That's what we believe in America. At least that's what we used to believe in America. Most still do. When you can't take them, you can only violate them. And so our enemy then, to make it simple, our enemy is anybody who wants to come after our rights. So the violators to the Bill of Rights becomes our guide. Anybody who violates the Bill of Rights, they then become our enemy. And that, one, do you agree with that perspective? Two, if you simplify it that way, it's really easy to identify enemies to me. Your thoughts on that?
Well, this is certainly a local enemy, because only we have a Constitution. And,
right,
of course,
America,
it has to be applied,
yes,
in America. And down to the community level, it has to be applied top to bottom. But what I see here, it could, you know, it is related to technocracy in one way, but it's also related to human nature in another way. Everybody understands what price gouging is. If you raise the prices on the Power Hour stuff because Amazon was out of products and all of a sudden you say, hey, I got an opportunity, let's quadruple the prices this week and really screw people. you're going to have a lynch mob outside your door pretty soon. Price gouging is unethical, immoral, and is hated throughout our country. How dare people do such a thing to take advantage of somebody that's down on their luck? Well, what do we see? What we're seeing here is what I call regulatory gouging. And that is, civic leaders are taking advantage of the crises to gouge us with regulations that we never, ever would have put up with and shouldn't put up with now to achieve their political goals, and has nothing to do with the coronavirus whatsoever. Absolutely nothing. It's regulatory gouging.
Like what? Give us an example. What's an example of that?
Well, I wrote an article on Citizens for Free Speech called Regulatory Gouging Hits the First Amendment. And it's worth reading. People can just go to citizensforfreespeech.org and go to the blog and they'll see the article and read it. But here's one section. Mayor Deborah Frank in Champaign, Illinois, issued an executive order, including ordinances that would give her extraordinary powers. Now listen to some of these powers, okay? Banning sale of firearms and ammunition. Banning sale of any alcohol. Closing all bars, taverns, liquor stores, etc. Banning the sale or giving away of gasoline or other liquid flammable or combustible products in any container other than a gasoline tank permanently affixed to a motor vehicle. Well, you can forget your snowblower to hope a big storm doesn't hit. Direct the shutoff of power, water, gas, etc. How's that work? Take possession of private property and obtain full title to it. See, these things have... Oh, here's another one. She did. She gave herself the power to prohibit or restrict ingress and egress to and from the city. So she could put up barriers and keep everybody in or keep everybody out, whatever. See, these kinds of things have really nothing to do with the coronavirus emergency. Banning the sale of firearms and ammunition? A mayor can do that? Well, no, but she did. You know, it's like, well, how do you combat this? Well, take her to court. Well, good luck with that. 2 years from now, you might get a date, you know, when you can tell the judge, which she did, and complain about it. And by then, you know, nobody's going to care.
This is interesting because New Orleans, if you remember Katrina, what year was Katrina? That was like 2007 or 8, maybe. It's been quite a while. Mm-hmm. In Katrina, yep. I'm sure a lot of our listeners, they've seen the videos from YouTube of the people and the police coming in and disarming people in dry areas, like physically coming into their house and taking their guns away from them. Did you see that, Patrick?
Oh, I did. Absolutely. That was a travesty of justice and an absolute slap in the face of our Constitution. And see, here's the big problem with this. I agree with you, of course, on inalienable rights. I fully understand that, and I'm fully in agreement with it. But when evil men come and do things like this, what we think are our rights come head-to-head with reality. The reality is...
No question.
They're putting a gun at our head saying, you will do what I say or else, essentially. That's what they did in Katrina. It's the same kind of stuff they're doing right now.
What do you make of the, I don't know how much research you've done on the repo market, the financial markets. Obviously, the stock market has lost about 30%. This week, they announced $1 trillion every day, ladies and gentlemen. $1 trillion every day into the repo market just to hold up this system and to keep things from basically collapsing. I mean, I don't even know how to put a context on this or how to even describe the magnitude of what is being done right now. Do you have a perspective on this?
Well, I happen to have a perspective on it because my core lifetime discipline has been in the economic/financial world. That's how I started out when I got out of college. What I studied, that's what I did. I've been following and writing about markets and, you know, investments and how things happen in an economic system and so on. And I might add, by the way, the Dow is down another 1,572 points right now. 7.4% again, today down. Yikes. We just broke through 20,000. So we're down a full 10,000 points from the peak. This is absolutely earth shaking. The markets have completely, discarded all of this federal blustering about what they're going to do with this, stimulus stuff. It will not, cannot possibly save the system at this point. And I think everybody in the market recognizes that. They can throw money at this until the cows come home, and it's not going to save the global financial system. And it's outside of the United States, you realize. This is happening throughout the world. And the entire world financial system right now is on the verge of collapse. We thought back in 2008, we thought that Lehman Brothers was the deal to end all deal. When Lehman went belly up, everything fell apart. Bear Stearns fell apart. Some of the big reinsurance companies started to fall apart. They got bailed out. And the government was successful in bailing out most of our big banks, well, including a couple of European banks, too. And this time around, since none of those problems ever got fixed, this time around, our government, our treasury, is throwing money into a black hole. This money is not coming to you and I. This money is not coming to small business. It's not coming to medium-sized business. It's going one place, and that's straight into the bankster's pockets. It's a black hole that cannot be satisfied with any amount of trillions of dollars that are poured into it.
This is what you just said is extremely ominous. I mean, this is what we've talked about. All I see is in the middle of this, the dollar keeps getting stronger, I guess, because everybody in the world wants to flee somewhere, so they flee the dollars, when it should be, I mean, are we talking hyperinflation soon? I mean, this is crazy. They are literally taking trucks of money and throwing it into this fire, hoping to put the fire out. What are the ramifications of this?
This is not hyperinflation at this point. What we're facing is massive deflation. Deflation is the destruction of wealth, the destruction of currency. And this is what we're seeing today. The government could say that they're throwing $1 trillion into the repo market, for instance, which goes straight to the banks, the big banks especially. But All it's going in to do is shoring up the losses that were already there. And so the money is just, it's not creating any additional money anywhere. It's just going into a black hole, getting sucked up, and boom, poof, it's gone. Like a black hole. And all the countries in the world are... Pardon?
Basically, they're putting their finger in the dike with it, except the dike is not a little crack anymore. It's a, you know, like the size of a cannonball. They're plugging
holes.
Well,
it is. If there was any possibility for people to get cash in their pockets or cash in their hand, you'd have a possibility for hyperinflation, but nobody's got any cash. I know you've seen that. This is pretty, you know, 60% of Americans before this crisis couldn't scrape together even $1,000 for an emergency of any kind in their life. And just think what it is now. People got less cash today than they've ever had before. And the government is not printing cash. There's been a war on cash, for Pete's sake, now for 10 years. And cash has been stripped out of society all around the world. Try and find, well, you can find some $100 bills still. There are not many of them out there in our country today. And already you're seeing a run on cash in some banks around our country. There isn't enough cash, really, to just hyperinflate.
New York ran out of, I can't remember, was it Bank of America or what it was? The New York branch, they totally ran out of money a couple days ago. Run on. What do you make of this idea Trump is going to give families $1,000 or $4,000? Or, you know, this is basically Andrew Yang, universal basic income. They are going to supposedly put some money in Americans' hands. What impact do you think that'll have?
I know. Listen, it's not... It can't have any more impact than it can throwing $1 trillion into the financial market. But hey, if they send me a check for $1,000, I'll spend it. But it's not going to do any good. But you know what? Andrew Yang, I'm glad you brought him up. Andrew Yang is the biggest technocrat in Wall Street.
Yeah.
He's been crowing universal basic income, which is an initiative of technocracy. He's been crowing about UBI for as long as I've been following him, tracking him. It's been a long time now. And I'm sure he's on cloud nine right now, that Trump would be suggesting, yes, what we need here is universal basic income. Just pass money out to everybody. You know, give them all some money. Like, that's going to solve anything. Well, this is going to bring this problem to a head. Well, kind of in the same way that a boil eventually develops a head that you can, pop and get some relief to pain. But this is bringing a problem to a head. What do you do when people have no jobs because technology has displaced them everywhere? What do you do with the people that are now called the unemployables? Not the unemployed, but the unemployables. And that's what technocrats in Silicon Valley have been calling this new class of people. Once they get bounced out of the cycle, they can never be really employed again because they can't get the education. They can't get the training. So they become unemployable. And that's what gave rise to the whole concept of UBI, was let's just give them money. That's all we can do. We can't just let them go out there and become a source of rebellion like you have in Hong Kong or whatever. Let's just give them money and we'll shut them up and we'll get them dependent on the government. And they'll live at our discretion. We'll just give them enough to barely survive, and they can just kind of live out there, and we'll lock them up in tenements. Who knows? But this is a technocracy idea from the get-go, just handing money to everybody. And now Trump is apparently just on the verge of breaking the ice. Yeah, with the first $1,000. Actually, they say they're talking about a minimum of $1,000. It could be more. And it could be for more than one period, like it could be something that they do every month for, say, the next 6 months. Yeah.
How long do you think this is going to go? Because we're hearing now the governor of California saying, well, your kids probably aren't going back to school this school year. How long do you think we're going to see this, whatever you want to call it, this period?
Well, you know, many states already have said that schools are going to be closed for the balance of this school year. So that means that the next time a lot of kids see school will be
September.
Next fall.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a long time.
It is a long time. I'm trying to get my mind around this, Patrick. I'm trying to, you know, I wake up early and trying to think about this, and obviously I'm relatively prepared. I'm way prepared, more than most people, but I'm still not prepared. It's like I'm still seeing it. Like I went to Walmart yesterday. I mean, we have most of our stuff. We're good. But I went to Walmart and these shelves, you know, there's like four packages of meat on the shelf. Like the whole shelf's empty except for four packages. The toilet paper, you know, you mentioned that, gone. There's like no toilet paper, zero. A whole row in Walmart is empty. That's a surreal feeling. My wife was talking about it. She was, you know, kind of made her panic, just instinctually it made her panic a little bit. This is not normal. We are outside our box of normal. And that scares me because, like you've documented, that's when change really happens. That's when quote unquote progress in this technocracy in their mind, that's when progress quote unquote happens. And, I don't know, where are we going in the next 6 months? In the next 6 months, what's something we need to see and look out for? You already said loss of liberties. What else?
Well, I have, for a long time, analyzed the concept of depression versus just recession. I think almost every economist across the board now realizes that the world is already in recession. Even right now, right as we speak, it's already entered into recession. The real question right now is the world at large on the verge of a major depression, which would call for massive destruction of wealth and personal wealth and freedom and, you know, opportunities and stuff all over the world? I think there's a good chance that America is committing national suicide right now by shutting down our entire economic system, which will have catastrophic effects on everything. I mean, unemployment is already spiking like crazy. Manufacturing is just tank. The financial system is on, I mean, it's just, they're in a dead panic right now. And you've got, in the meantime, you've got parents now with all their children at home. They have to work if their jobs are still there. And now their kids are at home. What the heck do you do with your kids? If both parents have jobs and your grade school kids are at home, somebody's got to give up a job and take care of the kids. Well, in a sense it is, but you understand economically it's a curse right now under these current circumstances.
I agree.
I would almost guarantee you that we're going to see civil unrest in America like we've never seen before.
De Blasio. Well, okay, since you brought that up, let me throw this at you. I thought Trump was unbeatable coming to the election at some point. And when this first started happening, the way they handled, the way it was going, I immediately thought this, Trump is now vulnerable. Trump is now vulnerable on this election to me because of this situation. What are your feelings?
I would disagree. I think this assures that he will be reelected because
really,
okay. If you go back in history and look at wartime presidents, people in America will not change presidents during a war. That doesn't happen. And we've got the biggest war on our hands since at least World War II, if not World War I. And people have already framed it in that context. We're at war, major catastrophic event at war with this stupid virus. And so, no matter how bad it gets, Trump is getting the praise for being the wartime president, and you cannot possibly switch presidents, or we will really be screwed. I mean, is any American really think that they're going to turn the country over to Joe Biden? Oh, my gosh, what a disaster. It's inconceivable. Even Democrats can understand this. It's inconceivable that you turn the country over to a lunatic who can't even put two sentences together to make a paragraph. It's like, no, it's not going to happen.
We got a little over a minute. Technocracy.news is your fantastic website. Tell us a little bit about your book really quick. Just what are we going to learn if we get your new book?
If you get a hold of Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, that's my latest book. You'll connect all the dots. That's all I can say. I've been encouraging people to read it. It's unfortunate people hate to read books, but listen, if you really want to know what's going on and understand the world today, you just have to pick it up and read it. That's all there is to it. Sit down for a day and read the dumb book. Especially if you're at home now, you've got nothing to do. Buy a book and read it.
There you go. Stay right there, Patrick. It's been fantastic to have you on. Cass Ingram on the other side, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, this information has never been more important. You're listening to The Power Hour. Stay tuned.
Heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.